Our scripture lesson is found in the fourth chapter of John, and I'd appreciate it if you'd keep your Bibles open. I'm just going to read a few verses, beginning with verse 19. "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Shall we pray? Before we ask your blessing on the word this morning, our Father, as Christians, we would remember our brothers and sisters in the Roman Catholic Church, and we would join with them in thanksgiving that their leader, Pope John Paul, is recovering. We deplore, our Father, the kind of violence that this represents in our world. And we long for the time when the Prince of Peace shall come. We pray your blessing upon Pope John Paul II this morning. And now we pray that you will bless this word to our hearts. Touch our lips to speak, our ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. It's remarkable that possibly the most profound words on worship were spoken in a conversation by our Master to one person. It's possibly even more remarkable that the conversation ever took place, considering that our Master was a Jew of the Jews. As a matter of fact, he was a Nazarene. And he was speaking, number one, to a Samaritan. That's about like a old-fashioned redneck speaking to a black person, or a Irish Catholic speaking to a English Protestant. It just doesn't take place. And then she was not only a Samaritan, she was a woman, and she wasn't his mother or his sister or his wife. And Jewish men just didn't talk to women. They got up every morning and thanked the Lord that they weren't dogs or women or Gentiles. And third, she was an obvious sinner. She just looked the part. And so it's remarkable that this conversation ever took place, and yet Jesus spoke to this woman at the well of Samaria some of the most tremendously profound words about worship that there are in the Scripture. I'd like to challenge some of you young students to make a lifetime study of the fourth chapter of John in worship. Jesus said a number of things, and I want to hurry because we want to hear these people sing some more. But first of all, he said that not all sincere worship is true worship. I think sincerity must be an ingredient in true worship. But Jesus made it plain in this conversation to the woman at the well that being sincere is not enough. As a matter of fact, he said that most people in the world today are worshiping in ignorance. Verse 22, he said, "You Samaritans worship what you don't know. You're worshiping in ignorance." And apart from revelation, that is, apart from God's direct intervention speaking through his holy word, it's impossible but that our worship be in ignorance. What set apart the religion of the Jews at that time from all other religions on earth was that religion was man striving, however sincerely, to reach God, whereas the Jews, for some reason, had become the receptacle of God's truth, and God, through them, was reaching down to man. And so Jesus said, really, I appreciate the fact you're worshiping and you want to know about worship, but really you don't know what you're worshiping about. Man cannot, by searching, find fellowship with God. Man can see the footprints of God. Man can trace somehow that God is here. You don't have to be very smart to see that some intelligent being has created this beautiful world. But you just can't find fellowship with God apart from revelation. Most people worship in ignorance. And then Jesus went on to say that many people worship with intelligence. Verse 22, the second half, speaking as a Jew and maybe as a Nazarene. I like that application. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. The Nazarenes know about worship. The Jews were tuned in on salvation, but it's possible to be right and to be dead. It's possible to be an orthodox, even a fundamentalist, if you want to call yourself that, and not really worship in spirit and truth. There are people today that are worshiping the Bible. And because they can quote John 3:16 and have an intellectual comprehension of what it means that Jesus died on the cross, they think they have a stamp of approval on their hand that will get them admitted to heaven. But Jesus said in John 5:39, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. But they, the Scriptures, are they which testify of me." And Jesus Christ himself is the life. And it's possible to worship intelligently, intellectually, to know what we're talking about, and have revelation, and still not worship in spirit and in truth. And I'm concerned that that's where a lot of us may end up unless we give ourselves to these last few words that Jesus had to say. For he said true worship must go beyond just knowing what's right, but it must encompass spirit and truth. The time has come. The Father is seeking for people who will worship in spirit and in truth. Spirit means personality. And it's impossible to worship apart from a one-to-one relationship with God. This woman, as she shared the joy that came from her conversation with Jesus, said, "Come and see a man who told me all that I ever did." And over again, when people come into a saving relationship with Jesus, they'll testify, "Somebody told that preacher all about me. Who told him what I was doing?" And it's not the preacher at all, but it's the Holy Spirit taking the truth and applying it to your heart. And you say, "My God is speaking to me. He's telling me all things I ever did." Jesus was pretty stern with her. He said, "Go call your husband." So I don't have time to develop that. But person is part of spirit, and it has to be a one-to-one relationship. And then attitude on our part is part of spirit. There may be some things you can go through the motions and just do. Maybe fix a flat tire or even learn the multiplication tables. But when it comes to worship, you have to pour yourself into it. There's just no other way. And you have to say, "Here I am. There's where you want me to be." And then finally, worship is in spirit here is coupled with truth. God deals in facts. And he wants us to know that we're saved. He wants us to face honestly the fact of our sins. How gently and yet how firmly Jesus dealt with this precious woman. Uncovered her sordid past, and yet with a sense of love and forgiveness, And you know, she just forgot about her water pot, and she forgot about everything, and she ran into the village, and she began to express a joy that she'd been seeking for. She'd been seeking for someone to love her. She'd been seeking for someone to tell her that she was important. Now she says, come, I've learned something that's more satisfying than anything else in all the world. These young people have been illustrating this morning, and we've been sharing in what is the most satisfying thing in all the universe, recognizing the presence of God, worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. Truly, it's just a little foretaste of what heaven's going to be like. Oh, won't we just all flying around saying, holy, holy, holy. But we'll be in the presence of the Lord, praise God. And we won't have to think about being through at 12 o'clock either. We'll just praise Him and praise Him and praise Him. But this woman discovered a joy in true worship. And the conversation that Jesus had with her that day, He wants to have with each of us, so that we don't worship in ignorance. I'm not too worried about that this morning. Although there are some of you that just are Christians because your mother told you, or because someone else told you. I'm more concerned that some of us Nazarenes are going to worship intellectually with intelligence. That's not wrong, but we've got to go beyond that. Jesus said the Father is seeking those who will worship Him in spirit and truth. Thank you, Father, for letting us participate in worship in spirit and truth this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.